Good morning. Welcome to worship and happy Mother's Day to those of you who are celebrating the day and remembering our mothers on earth and in heaven and those who mother and nurture us in a variety of ways. A special welcome to those who are worshiping with us from home. We're glad that you're joining us. And as we begin on this fourth Sunday of Easter, just a reminder that this is a time when every fourth Sunday of Easter where we focus on Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And so as you listen to the lessons today and hear the music and sing together, keep that in your mind that we recognize Jesus as our Shepherd. Now, let us begin our worship with the Thanksgiving for Baptism ritual. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. So let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Pray. O God of peace, you brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. By the blood of your eternal covenant, make us complete in everything good, that we may do your will and work among all that is well-pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your ears and your hearts to hear the Word of God.
Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they'd washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside. Then Peter knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, And seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second lesson is from the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite all who are able to stand. Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the risen Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. In our Gospel reading this morning, Jesus is in the middle of his discourse about being the Good Shepherd, using that analogy of sheep in a field, with a shepherd caring for and protecting them. This story is probably very familiar to many of you, and there are any number of ways to understand that analogy. But I'd like to focus today on one way to consider this by focusing on one verse of our gospel lesson, when Jesus says, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." Just before our reading, Jesus talks about being a shepherd and protecting the sheep from those who would snatch them. Jesus talks about wolves who chase after the sheep, scatter them, and then snatch them. One could imagine also other things snatching those sheep, other wild animals, and in fact, probably more than anything, other people stealing the sheep. Sheep, in fact, are very vulnerable creatures, and they need protecting. The danger is real. But there's another danger for sheep, though. And to illustrate it, I'd like to tell you a story. I grew up on a dairy in Mount Angel, and the last few years we were there, we actually had sold all the cows and we just had crop farming. But we had some hillsides that were really only any good for grazing. Well, what were we going to do with them? We don't have any cows anymore. So it turned out there was a neighbor who had sheep, but not a lot of land, and was always looking for these kind of spaces to use. And we were happy that the land could be used at all. And so they brought over a whole lot of sheep. And I can't tell you exactly how many. I was pretty young. And we had them all over there. And they also brought the big sheepdog that protected all of the sheep. But there was one thing that dog couldn't protect them from, which was the sheep themselves. Those sheep were gifted at getting out of the fenced-in area. And they'd get out. We'd try and do our best to get them back in. It was hard work. We were used to cows. Cows, if you start leading them the right way, the whole group will start following. Sheep scamper. And every time you think they're going one way, they get skittish, and one starts going the other way, and now the whole flock goes. It was a nightmare. And we were inexperienced. These weren't our sheep. So eventually we'd get them in, and in that area of Mount Angel, anytime animals get out, everybody who's around comes and helps. And one of these times when it happened, we got enough people, we eventually got them back in, and one of the neighbors asked my grandfather, "Well, what kind of sheep are those? They look unusual." We had no idea. They weren't our sheep. So Grandpa just said, "Dumb sheep." This is the other reason we need a shepherd. It's not as nearly as dramatic as these wild animals coming and snatching them and some other person coming and stealing sheep with a conspiracy and plot and so forth. But instead, simply the sheep themselves wandering aimlessly, getting themselves lost and not knowing how to get back. That aspect shows up at the beginning of our gospel lesson. Many of the people there who've been just debating who this Jesus is, having just seen him heal the man born blind, ask Jesus, "Well, won't you tell us plainly, are you the Messiah or not? Won't you tell us who you really are, Jesus?" Jesus replies, "I've told you, but you don't believe." Now, there's any number of ways to understand that, but I want to focus on that piece. Jesus might be saying, what you mean by "tell us plainly who you are" is not actually possible. Jesus says, "I've said in multiple ways I'm the Messiah. You've seen me do the works that I'm doing, which are the work of the Messiah. But what you want is more than that. You want to have such certain knowledge of who I am that you don't have to have faith at all. It would just be knowledge." And so Jesus said, "I've told you, but you don't believe." It's distinctly possible that this is less an accusation that they have weak faith or not enough faith. Instead, he's saying, "You're trying to avoid the whole scheme of faith altogether. You just want certainty." And so Jesus pushes them back to faith. And he brings this conversation to them. They ask, "Jesus, who are you?" Jesus replies, "Well, maybe we ought to look at who you are. do some introspection in this moment. Because, he says, if what you're wanting to know is enough knowledge to have faith, you have it. It's already there. He asks them to reflect, who is Jesus in your life? Knowing exactly that Jesus is Messiah or not is not the point. It's living a real life of faith. So he says, you know perfectly well whether I'm the Messiah or not, but look into yourselves and see what your faith looks like. That's an uncomfortable challenge of Jesus. After all, if we look into ourselves, what will we find? Do we find that faith that we would be hoping to find? Also, when we look into ourselves, we can sometimes see ourselves as those sheep who get out of the pen, those sheep who wander. We see in ourselves the power of sin in our lives. We are convicted along with St. Paul, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, I do, as we exist in this world of sin and pain and death. So when Jesus calls us to look inward, to have us reflect on upon who God has been in our lives, it could be uncomfortable. And there, Jesus calls us looking at our faith. But given our bondage to sin and death, what even is that? And it turns out sometimes when we look deeply in, it does look like our affirmation of faith that we say in our apostles and Nicene creeds. But at other times, we might not feel that way. We're not so sure. Maybe sometimes our faith looks an awful lot like doubt. And then Jesus says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus moves the conversation to one not only of believing but belonging. Our faith is a gift given to us by Jesus. Jesus holds us all in his hand and offers us this gift of faith. Jesus recognizes us in our sinfulness as we are. And the grace that he offers is that when we look at it ourselves, that if it's one of those times that we have to say, I'm not sure what my faith is, Jesus replies, you belong to me. More powerful than our doubt is Jesus' grasp upon us. No one will snatch them out of my hand. The shepherd who protects the sheep, even from themselves. But there's another thing about the way Jesus talks about being a shepherd of sheep. He always discusses sheep in the plural. It's not just a person who is given faith, but together as a community of faith, the body of Christ. And so that faith we have is a gift, comes to us as a group, together as one. This might be best exemplified when we come together at the Lord's table. Martin Luther loved to say that the moments in life where we aren't sure we really have any faith at all, and Luther felt that all the time, that's when we need to come to the table the most. When we have doubts, we come to the table and receive the sacrament, to receive Jesus' body and blood. It's a means of grace, a place where Jesus assures us, no one will snatch you out of my hand. It's in those moments where that we have the experience of Christ in our lives, who is including us and saying, you belong, you are mine. But when we do that, we also come to the table together. All of us receive the same body of Christ. All of us the same gift of faith. Together in our community. So when Jesus calls us to examine ourselves and see what our own faith within us is, we're not doing it alone. And so we together frequently ask Jesus, with his audience here, tell us plainly, give us certainty of who you are, because we want to be comfortable. Jesus' reply is to say, at the end of days, you will have that kind of knowledge. But right now, in this broken world of faith and doubt, you might not have certainty, but you are mine. Come to me. Faith will grow in you. No one will snatch you out of my hand. Amen.
with the whole Church of Christ, let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He ascended into heaven. That's with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. And with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Shepherding God, enable your church to listen and to respond to the voice of Jesus. Give us unfailing trust so that we might boldly carry out the work of the risen Christ in the world around us. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, prosper your creation for the sake of every living thing. Empower us to faithfully steward all that you have entrusted to us, not only for this generation, but for generations to come. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sovereign God, raise up world leaders and global citizens to work together in bringing an end to violence and war. Help us to be ambassadors striving for peace and justice in all the earth. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comforting God, provide healing to any in need. Equip us to support one another as we are able. We lift up before you this day baby Michael, Joshua Chamness, Terry Chapp, Linnea Embleton, Bob and Carolyn Evans, Claudia Hardwick, Joy Lathrop, Doug Martin, Dave Prescott, and Marilyn Tullifson. For whom or what else do the people pray? Michelle, Peter, Doris, and Lyle. For all these we've named aloud, and for those we hold in our hearts, and for those known only to you, we pray. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal God, enfold us in the great multitude of saints from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Wash us in your saving grace every day, guiding us to your waters of life. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you always. At this time, share a sign of peace with one another, and then the ushers will come forward as we receive the morning offerings.
Let us pray. Living God, you gather the wolf and the lamb to feed together in your peaceable reign, and you welcome us all at your table. Reach out to us through this meal and show us your wounded and risen body, that we may be nourished and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his holy supper. In the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it for all, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. At the direction of the ushers, we invite you to come forward, receiving the bread in the form of a wafer, and then dipping it into the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice, and there are also gluten-free wafers available. Should you need those, please just let your server know. Come, for all is now ready.
Jesus,
And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, generous God, for this bread and cup. We have tasted the new heaven and new earth, where hunger and thirst are no more. Send us from this table as witnesses to the resurrection, that through our lives, all may know life in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple brief words of our life together. Couple things you need to be aware of. That Synod Assembly for the Oregon Synod happens this Friday, Saturday, Sunday coming up. And so please pray for our delegates and for those in attendance for the important business before us as an assembly. I will be returning on Sunday morning to be with you, but the assembly ends with worship on Sunday. I also want to alert you that next Sunday is the chorale is doing a mass of requiem, and we encourage your attendance. They've worked hard on this in the midst of the season of Easter, so we will be blessed by their presence in worship and their leadership as well. With those announcements, I invite those who are able to stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The body of Christ raised up for the world. Go in peace, share the good news. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Amen.